Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen teaches at Florida Atlantic University and is a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's a story from Janix Parisi.
I took a first date to Gumbo Limbo. Gumbo Limbo is where all of the marine life here in Florida is studied and helped. They're a fabulous group of people. They do turtle conservancy, and they have tanks that you can go and you could see the turtles. They do walks. It's a great place. It's here in Boca Raton. And I thought, this is good. We'll see what they have. And I fell in love with the turtles. These big, beautiful creatures swimming around in these tanks and the tiny little babies. And I kept asking them, how can I work here? How could I be a part of this? And they said, well, you have to be hired by Boca Raton and they're not hiring, so you can't. I kept persisting and they gave me the name of the woman in Highland Beach who holds the permit. So I called her literally for a month, either every day or I emailed her, one or the other, every day. Finally, she answered and she said, can you come down and meet me? Because I'd like you to be a turtle ranger because you have the persistence that's necessary. And I started doing it then. That was 3 years ago. And it is, without doubt, one of the greatest gifts I gave myself. I love it. Every day there's something new. Every day we're helping out turtles that are endangered and almost extinct, threatened in some cases, and I do my part. I don't think of this as a job because I think of it as love. The rangers in Highland Beach are about 50, and we handle a 5-mile beach. So it's a pretty dedicated group of people being out there before sunrise every day from March 1st to October 31st. And this is when the sea turtles come up to the ocean to lay their eggs and then the babies hatch out. And all of these turtles that are coming up between these months are turtles that were born on this beach 30-odd years ago. One story last year at the end of the season, it was over. We had had a storm already. All of the babies had been hatched out of the nest. The others were washed out into the ocean after the storm. Basically, I was just walking the beach, picking up trash, doing my bit. And I saw up on an escarpment about 10 feet in from the tide, I saw this black circle at the top of this 6-foot escarpment, and I couldn't figure out what it was. So I walked down a little bit, because it's too hard to get up 6 feet, and I climbed up, herringboned up, and I saw all these raccoon feet. Well, that did not bode well, because raccoons on the beach, they love turtles. So I followed their footsteps, and I came to this circle, this nest hatch out. It must have been about 12 inches in diameter, and there were about 50 turtles lying there, little baby green turtles. And I'm looking at them, and they're all dead. And I figured this darn raccoons ate them. And I know the raccoons have to eat, but I was horrified that my turtles now were dead. And then I realized, no. The raccoons didn't kill them because raccoons bite the heads off, suck the guts out, and spill the rest away and don't even bother with it. So I thought, okay, they just died from the heat. And I was devastated because it was the last day. I didn't want this to be my legacy. So I like to bury the turtles in the ocean because I think that's their destiny. So I picked up one of these babies and I'm just talking to it saying, you did a really good job. You came out of the hole. You almost made it. I'm so sorry I wasn't here fast enough. And it started to move its head. And then it started to move its flippers. And I'm like, oh my, it's alive. So I put it in my bucket. I reached down and picked up another. Stroked its head, it started moving. It started flipping. Picked up another. 54 turtles in total. Little baby turtles that I saved. And this has such meaning because 1 out of 1,000 makes it to maturity. So I took them down to Gumbo Limbo. In 2 days, they put them out to the ocean. I did not know what the problem was, why they all seemed to be dead. The only thing that I could surmise was that I had walked up to the scene just then and scared the raccoons away. They were probably in shock. Or the other explanation is they had hatched out a little earlier and they were exhausted and the sun was beating them down because the sun will fry them. That's why all baby turtles, for the most part, hatch during the night and go to the sea at night. They follow the moon's light because the birds would pick them off in the daytime or the sun would dry them out. But periodically, we see them falling out of the escarpments or we see them crawling out in the daytime and we need to save them. So there's a lot of joy of absolute joy on the beach, working with the adult turtles, finding out what kind came up, where they nested, if they nested, and then tracking for 30 or 40 days for when the babies come out.
Janix Parisi with a story about saving the turtles.
And a story about love.
Oh, it was very confusing. Those turtles that you found, 50 of them that she thought was dead. That's like a mystery of what happened to them.
I know. And that was the first thing I was thinking. Well, the second thing I was thinking about the story is it was a mystery story. She thought she'd solved the mystery at first. Then she realized, well, it couldn't have been the raccoons. So she thought she had a solution, threw that one out, came up with another solution. And that surprise of having them alive, all 54 of them, that's pretty amazing.
Oh, that feeling of knowing that they're alive must have been incredible. But also, those raccoons are vicious.
Fortunately, they didn't get these little babies. Janix got them first.
And she was a volunteer getting up these mornings looking to save these sea turtle eggs. That's really incredible thing that she did.
Yes, and yet she starts off the story by saying it was one of the greatest gifts she gave to herself. She does say that they were endangered, getting toward extinction, and you know, but she downplayed. She said, "I do my part, I do my bit." In other words, this is somebody with great humility and modesty. And to us, at least to me as a listener, she saved the day. These 54 turtles would not have made it. And the vast majority of them, of course, do not.
She's nice toward the raccoons, saying they deserve to eat. But when she describes them as...
This is a story with strong images.
And didn't she become a turtle ranger on a date?
Well, she fell in love on a first date. But it wasn't necessarily, at least according to this story, with her date. It was with the turtles. And that's such a lovely little irony, a little sweet little twist, that it was on a date that she fell in love with the turtles. It was an obsession. And it was an obsession kind of like love is an obsession. You'll do anything. And here the woman in charge with the permit said, you know, you have such perseverance. I want that kind of person on my team.
And she really feels like she made a difference in the world.
And I think she did. And I also think there's another element to this story. And that is, again, going back to the one of the greatest gifts I gave myself, she says that she was devastated when she thought they were dead. In other words, she's not only giving something for the world, but she's taking in a lot of, there's a lot of emotion attached to this story, the love, the devastation, the surprise. This is somebody who really embodies that spirit of wanting to save nature. Her emotions thread together with her actions in a beautiful way.
Well, she thought those turtles were dead, and I almost felt like she was about to give them artificial respiration when she found out they weren't dead.
Well, she did carry them to the sea, and I thought that was beautiful.
That's right.
Well, she didn't carry, when she found out they were alive, she didn't have to carry them to the sea. Then she could take them all to Gumbo Limbo.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. I understand there's a slam tonight.
There's a slam tonight that I'm hosting at the Mad Robot Brewing Company in Boca Raton, 2621 North Federal Highway. No cover, come and enjoy or come and tell a story, 5 to 7 p.m. There is also the Moth Storytelling Slam on August 13th. That is Tuesday, August 13th. It's always the second Tuesday of every month. And that is in downtown Miami at the Olympia Theater. Doors open at 6. Stories start at 7.
Well, thanks, Karen. And if our listeners have a story they'd like to share right here on the Public Storyteller, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email, cneil, C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archived stories at wlrn.org. Click radio and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal teaches at Florida Atlantic University and is a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.